to a SPEAR podcast on data monitoring. My name is Christine Steffens, and I'm from RWTH Aachen University, and I am a member of the SPEAR Consortium. With me today, there's Florian Holzinger from Joanneum Research. He's also a member of the SPEAR Consortium. Florian works in the Research Group for Technology, Innovation, and Policy Consulting at Joanneum Research. The research group offers services that encompass policy design, evaluation, and consultation in the areas of policy research, technology and innovation, human resources, and in the development of higher education. The groundworks for strategic decisions rely upon analytical foundations. So Joanneum provides these in the form of, for example, feasibility and impact analyses, investigations on systems of science, innovation, and higher education, and with analyses that focus on eligibility and diversity. So Florian, as you can see, is an expert on data analyses, especially with a focus on gender equality. And within our project, he's responsible for the ongoing evaluation of our gender equality plan implementation process. So welcome, Florian. Nice to have you here.
Yes, thank you very much for the invitation and for letting me talk to you and about the data monitoring.
Yeah, today we will explore the meaning of data monitoring a little bit further, especially for gender equality work in higher education institutions. So I've got a couple of questions prepared for you, and yeah, we'll see how to get along with them. So first things first, what is monitoring, Florian? Please enlighten us.
Oh yeah, I think the UN Development Agency has defined this very well, and I think this is a working definition which fits to our purposes. It says it's an ongoing process by which stakeholders obtain regular feedback on the progress being made towards achieving their goals and objectives. So this gives us a first insight into what monitoring consists of. So it consists either of, on the one hand, of monitoring the objectives that you have set for your organization or for your department, but also focusing on the process itself. So what do I do to reach these objectives, and what steps have I taken? So it combines these two perspectives, on the one hand, the objectives, and on the other hand, the processes. It also says it is a continuous endeavor. So it's not a one-time thing you do, it's something you do regularly. So you need to monitor your activities and the outcomes of these activities on a very regular basis and collect this data also on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is overall, I think the aim of monitoring is to enable a learning process and a reflection process. So it provides you a lot of data and information about what is going well, what is not so going well, but also where do you stand in relation to the objectives you have set for yourself and your organization. So it's really important, I would say, for any process within an organization, not only for gender equality, to monitor these activities and to gain kind of empirical evidence on your progress and your activities.
Mm-hmm. You just said that, so monitoring basically can be understood as two things. Like, one is the focus on the processes that are going on, mm-hmm. and the other type is more or less on certain targets that you set yourself. That sounds like you would need different types to access those data.
Yeah, I think it is very important to see them as connected. So The process is more like the activities you implement, you conduct to reach specific objectives. So without the knowledge what you have done, you cannot really say how successful you were, because even if you have a good performance, you might have implemented a lot of activities to reach these objectives. So I think you really need to connect them. So the one is to measure the outcomes and the short, the midterm, and the long-term impact. So that would be the performance monitoring. And on the other hand, you need to know what kind of inputs and what kind of activities did I implement to reach these objectives. So also here, I think you need to know a little bit more about the process. The process also means that you collect data not only on how many activities you have implemented, like workshops, seminars, events, whatever it is, but also what worked well in these events, what did not go as planned. Yes, so this is also more qualitative perspective on the things you do. It's not only about counting numbers, but also understanding what are you doing and why does it work out, or why doesn't it work out.
Yeah, it sounds a little bit challenging to have everything there inside, you know. So you have the big picture. You have to really think about, okay, our target numbers are looking like this right now, or our numbers are looking like this, and what are the processes that go along with enhancing, for example, the numbers of women
in
certain fields.
But I think you don't need to do an over-complex monitoring, yes? So I think it is very important, if you start the monitoring process, to think about the objectives you have set for your organization. And then you need to think about how to reach these objectives. So it might not be easy to reach. For instance, if you set the objective for, I want to raise the number or the share of women on the professorial level in my university, at the grade A level. So
we all want to do.
Yeah, that's what we all want to do. And that's a very tricky. It seems so easy. So you need to hire more female professors. But as we all know, there are so many activities involved that you can at the end hire more women. So this might involve that you change your recruitment processes, that you enhance the number of female applicants, that you enhance the number of female in the last pool of applicants, that what like the 5 or 10 best candidates. You need to change maybe also the application language, how do you formulate a job description and so on. So this is a long process to get to at the end, maybe in 5 or 10 years, to a significant higher share of female professors. And so this also needs to involve to measure all these little steps that in between. Yes, can I really raise the number of women, female applications? Yeah, are there more women in this more narrow pool of candidates that are really considered as hireable? Yes, and then I need to monitor how many women are exactly hired at the end. Yes, and then I see maybe at the end, at the long end, in the long term, that the share of women on the grade A level is improving, yes? But this is a very long-term impact. So I think if you start with the objectives, you need to get back and see what kind of steps are in between to reach these objectives, and collect data on these more smaller steps and activities. But, and that's why I said it's not necessary to be over complex. You don't need to, this also allows you to focus on specific questions, yes? Mm. If because there is a lot of data out there and collecting this data and processing this data is very work intensive, laborious. So it allows you, if you set your objectives and then think about how to reach it and what kind of data this involves, it also allows you to focus on specific kind of data. And maybe you can leave out other data which is not relevant at the moment for you. Might become mm-hmm. relevant at a later stage in the implementation of a gender equality plan or strategy.
Mm-hmm. What would you say is like the most relevant data if you want to start from scratch?
Yeah, of course, the most relevant data that we are all interested in is the participation of men and women in the workforce, in your organization, if you're in university, also on the student level, on the people who are working in research and teaching, but also on the organizational administrative level. This is some kind of basic data that is mostly available in all organizations. But then I would say it is, as I said before, that there is no kind of prefixed one size fits all plan how to do a monitoring. It really needs to be targeted to your objectives of the organization. So if you want to increase the number of women, it might not make sense to collect data on how many courses are taught or with gender in research topic. Yes, so that's why I think you first have to think about the objectives, and then you have to define what data you need to measure it. Yes,
mm-hmm. And that makes choosing a lot easier, I suppose. Yeah,
on the one hand, yes. On the other hand, of course, as I described, this is a complex process. Yes, and mm-hmm. you need to see how you get the data for. Because in hiring, for instance, or recruiting, there are so many people or maybe departments involved in it, yes? So you need to find out who collects the data. Is this data already collected? Yeah? Or do I need to define a procedure how to collect the data? Yes, because mm-hmm. I think only recently or in the last 10 years maybe organizations have started to collect data on their recruitment processes. Before, they just had kind of the end product or the output of the process, who got hired, yeah? But mm-hmm. you didn't know who was in the pool of candidates, how many women, how many men applied, how many women and men got invitation for an interview, for instance, yes? And this mm-hmm. all needs to be defined, yeah, if it's not already there. So this is... It's still a complex process and involves a lot of people. It needs to be also that clear responsibilities, who is then responsible for collecting the data, and how can you also transfer and make it the data and make it public, yeah? Mm. Also data protection becomes then an issue, of course. But I think these are procedures that need to be defined when you set up a monitoring.
Mm. So what's your basic advice for setting it up in an organization?
My basic advice, yeah. The first is to define is to have clear goals and define a specific indicators how to measure. A long-term impacts, but also short-term, yeah, so that you can really see whether you are able to make progress towards this long-term objectives. Like, for instance, I said, raising the number of female, the share of female professors. So there are many steps in between, and they have more short-term outputs, and these you can measure, and then you see whether it's possible. To increase the number by 10% percentage points or so, whatever. So define the goals and indicators. They also need to be achievable. Yeah, it doesn't make sense to to have very ambitious goals, which are not realistic to meet in a time period of 5 to 10 years, or I don't know how long depending on how long your gender equality plans, the runtime of your gender equality plans will be, but they need to be realistic. This is very important. And I think it's also important in this whole project of setting up a monitoring system is that you don't work it out yourself. It's a participatory approach. It's kind of also an awareness raising approach within the organization. So you need to involve a lot of stakeholders, in my opinion, that could be that, and they should design it together. Because then the indicators that you and that the objectives that you define, they are then meaningful for these stakeholders. And if they are allowed to design it with together and have a say in it, then they are also more committed. And it allows you also to define the responsibility of each stakeholder. So a stakeholder could be, for instance, the recruitment department, who is in charge of defining hiring procedures, to invite people for recruitment committees. They can collect data. But maybe it is also the publication, the office that supports the library, maybe, or an office that supports publication, because they collect bibliographic or bibliometric data on employees, maybe, or it is the works council, who maybe is doing already some kind of employee survey, asking them about their working conditions, about work-life balance, and so on. So I think this very much depends on how your university or research performing organization is organized, and how responsibilities are divided. So this is about setting up the data or setting up a monitoring plan. But then, of course, I think there are requirements regarding data, and there's one basic requirement: you need this sex disaggregated data. This is not available in all institutions, as we have experienced in other projects besides the SPEAR project, that not all organizations, not all universities really collect data disaggregated by sex. So this is the first thing that you need to establish, that this is really done throughout the whole organizations, or in many for as many data as possible. But this also can be an ongoing process, that you include more and more data that is disaggregated by sex. But also, I think it also should reflect maybe also that there are men and women are not or women as a group, and men as a group, are diverse in itself. So they also have they have different ages, they have different family backgrounds, different care responsibilities, and so on. So they are not a homogeneous group. So maybe you should also think about to include also other variables, and to connect them to the gender or sex variable, and see whether gender and age, or gender and care responsibilities, does have an effect on maybe whether you are able to get promoted on gender equality in itself.
But do you also have some, I'm pretty sure there are really good sources out there to get ideas for possible indicators. Do you have anything that you could share with us?
Yeah, I mean, the one source that I would recommend to use is or refer to are the SHE figures. These are published by the European Commission. They are published every second or third year. They are not published on the level of organizations or institutions, but they are based on organizational data. Yeah, from but then are summarized for a country, so you can have the data for all European 27 European or maybe now 26 European countries in there. And you have a lot of indicators that are also relevant, not only on the national level, but also on the organizational level. And for the what makes it so helpful now for the latest edition of the SHE figures, you also have a handbook, a methodological handbook. So where every indicator and variable is described on the data source and how it is measured, and so on. So you get a lot of also methodological data there. The other thing I think is to take to look at what other organizations are doing. Yes, comparable organizations. How are measuring? How do they measure gender equality and monitor gender equality in their organization? I think there are good examples from universities out there. Maybe in all of the regions, yes, and in all of the countries. So maybe you just need to look at some other organization. What I like, because I work in Vienna, and I think I'm more familiar with the Austrian universities. I think they have all pretty decent monitoring, very detailed monitoring reports. They are, of course, in German, so might not be usable for all listeners. But of course, you get a kind of a feeling for how they present it, what kind of data is there, because I think that data is mostly understandable, also if you're not able to read German. So this would be the main sources I would recommend for a start. Okay, another tool or a helpful tool is the E40 toolbox, which provides indicators for different gender equality measures, and it can be accessed through a website, and it gives you a kind of a feeling for what kind of different with what kind of different variables can I measure my gender equality initiatives. What outputs can I expect? What impacts can I expect, and how to measure them? So you also get a description for each variable, and you can define maybe your own intervention logic there. From what do I want to reach from to the inputs that I need to reach these objectives. So this follows these kind of an intervention logic approach, and should be quite helpful also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you very much. I was just wondering, I mean, you've been talking about all the different indicators that you can look into and collecting certain sets of data. And I was just wondering, are there any risks when collecting data? I mean, for example, how do you avoid to collect gender bias data, for example? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think this is a very important question. I think the first thing I would do is that I'm not inventing indicators for myself. I would refer to the to indicators that are already available. So using, for instance, the SHE figures, using the E40 toolbox, and not developing something on your own. Maybe if you are a statistician or a gender equality expert, then you could do that, but otherwise I would refrain from it. The other thing is that I would, and that's what I just more or less mentioned, is if you want to set up a monitoring, also to include different experts into designing the monitoring. So I think you need a statistical know-how. You also need expertise maybe on gender equality and how to measure it. So having a diverse team who can advise you in setting up indicators and also people that know what kind of data is collected in your organization, because every data mm-hmm. in the organization might have its flaw. And these people who collect data, they know about it very well, kind of maybe what is not in the data, yeah, but we think it is in. So then you might interpret it or make wrong conclusions if you think you've also collected data on the most important, or the one typical example is that, for instance, data on employees with children, yes? These are mostly women, because in most of the countries, they are taking...
the part-time position.
Paternity leave, yeah? They have to say, okay, I have a child and I'm taking paternity leave, and this is registered in the organizational data. And only a very few men do this or have the possibility in some countries to do this. Mm-hmm. So there you have this kind of bias in it, yeah? Because it's mostly women, and you can't conclude that men do not have children, yeah? Because they are not registered in the system because they are not on parental leave or something, yes? Mm-hmm. So these kind of things you need to take into account, and there are these experts who collect this data, they can tell you what kind of flaws or limitations the data does have. So I think it's important, as I said before, to include people with different kinds of expertise into setting up the monitoring and to reflect and discuss it with them. So this should kind of hopefully make you aware of any bias in the data, and then you can exclude it or avoid it.
Mm-hmm. I think I've got another tricky question.
I love them, yeah.
Yeah, because you've been talking about the sex disaggregated data, mm-hmm. and until recently, there's been, at least in Germany, a change that you can have mm-hmm. now so-called third sex, mm-hmm. And you can register as a diverse person mm-hmm. for the first time. And how do you make the gender diverse data visible within your monitoring? Or would you say we should rather focus on another way mm-hmm. of monitoring there?
Yeah, this is of course very complex, because the monitoring data you normally collect comes from different sources. They might come from the publication office, yeah, from the recruitment office, from an office that is responsible for teaching, yes. Mm-hmm. So you would need to change the structure of the data for the sex or gender variable in every corner of your organization, and this is of course very work intensive. But of course, I think it is important to start this. Yes, it is something where we can. Learn a lot about it in the future. So if you are establishing a new monitoring system, I would include it from the beginning on, yes? Especially if your national legislation is requiring it, yes? Then mm-hmm. I would include it from the beginning on. If you are already having a very elaborated monitoring system, yes, I think it's mostly a stepwise approach. Yeah, you change the first, maybe the most important data on the participation of men, women, and diverse people in your workforce. Yeah, but I think it is important to make this visible. The problem is, as I see it at the moment, is that, of course, I would assume it is at the moment a lower number of people. So then it's a question how you can do statistics on it and so on. But, but still, you make it visible, and that there are not only men and women. As I said before, men and women are in their themselves. Kind of not a homogeneous group, but there are also other people who don't fall in this categorization of female and male. So I think it is important to make it visible, and the monitoring, of course, is a tool to do this. Yes, and then are kind of, if it's possible and if it's already done that you want to improve the data collection and include a sex variable into the monitoring system, and it is possible to also include not only a kind of men-women differentiation but also include a diverse category, then I would do it. But if it's not possible, of course, I would stick with male-female and then wait for the next window of opportunity to include it, or maybe think about another way of collecting data on this issue. Yeah, maybe a survey is then more applicable or more easily to do than doing this in an organizational, in the organizational administrative data. Yes.
That's a very good tip, actually, to try to get the data maybe from other sources and not just from the organizational points. Yeah. Mm-hmm. What would you say, what are the limits of monitoring from your experience?
Yeah, the limits of monitoring are the resources that are mostly available on the one hand, and the data that is available in most organizations. So I think the limits of monitoring are that you need to stick to the purpose. It is kind of really observing an ongoing process, but not in every little bit or every little detail, but looking at a bigger picture. So I think you can't... it doesn't give a full account of gender equality in your organization. Yes, it gives an account for specific parts and specific topics where gender inequalities might occur. But it should not be mixed with evaluations or even studies on gender inequalities. This is something monitoring cannot do and shouldn't do. It would overburden it. Yes, it would take too many resources. So, because then you need to do it much more in detail and have a really scientific approach to gender inequalities or gender equality in your organization. So it's really, the limitation lies with is that you have a kind of a bigger picture, which doesn't necessarily always reflect every little detail or every part of your organization. Yes, so it's these are for me the limits, because you won't get money for doing a kind of a very in-depth study on gender inequalities in your organization every year, every second year. This would also kind of tire the organization if you do this constantly. So it is really like data that is already there, and use it for the monitoring. And if there's not much data, think about what kind of data are really important for my purposes and for my objectives.
And if you have your data collection and you have your visualization ready, where would you say, where do you present your results? What's wise to do?
I think that the most important thing, and you mentioned that already in your question, is to make the data publicly available and visible. So collecting data and then processing it and visualize it and then hide it in some kind of drawer will not work, because I think the main objective also of this monitoring is to create awareness in the organization and also to create accountability of different actors that are responsible for producing the results. Like there have not been many women hired, so the recruitment and maybe a department and maybe also the vice chancellor for recruitment needs to explain this kind of data. Yeah, why specific objectives have. So this creates accountability, and it only creates it when it is publicly visible. So this is the first thing. The other thing, of course, is you need to discuss the data and the results of the monitoring within your organizations and make sense out of it together with involving different stakeholders. So I think you need to present it in the top management, on the top management level, with all chancellors and vice chancellors. But also you need to go down into the departments or faculties and also discuss it maybe there and present it there. So and that is not only the responsibility of one person, but it needs to be, of course, distributed within the organization, because then otherwise you would have maybe 20 meetings only dedicated to this. And maybe it's also good to use it in your internal and external communications, with students. Refer to it maybe also in applications. If you're doing good and improving, you can also do it, use it in application where gender equality, for instance, grant applications where gender equality is a criteria. You could also include it into job descriptions. We are improving. We are hiring more women as reported in our gender monitoring. Yes, so that people are aware. Okay, this is an objective, and they are all, it's not only a kind of a lip service. Yeah, it's also that you see that they are improving because the data is improving. So it's really about I think to use the data to engage people and to motivate people. To get involved into promoting gender equality and to work towards more gender equality in your organization. And there's again no single solution or what. So I think you can be creative how to use it. Make a podcast out of it, or or I don't know. Present it also maybe at different conferences, and get feedback.
Thank you very much. I think that's been really informative, I have to say. I mean, we maneuver through all different kinds of aspects of data monitoring today. Mm-hmm. And I thank you very much, Florian, for sharing all the information.
Thanks also. I hope it gave the insights into some of the challenges of but also of how to overcome the challenges of monitoring.
You can find additional information on the subject and also our virtual materials that we produced in the SPEAR project and that accompany the implementation process of the gender equality plans. You can find it on the project website under www.gender-spear.eu. And thank you very much again, and hope to hear you soon. Bye.